Let me pray, folks. Heavenly Father, we do want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that you are a good God and you want the very best for your people. Father, we pray that you might open our hearts and our minds as we hear your word this morning. We pray that it might move us, it might challenge us, it might help us to be better parents, grandparents, and we do pray these things for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. You know, some people in life do it tough. It's not their fault. It's not because they're not smart. Life is just not working for them. It seems they can get in trouble easy. They face difficulties often. And they often have a low self-esteem of themselves. And they can sometimes feel and act like failures. Very often, people in that position have been raised by unwise parents. That's not always the case. They have missed loving encouragement, discipline, and godly models. Again, that's not always the case. For other people, life is not as tough. Life is working well for them. They face challenges and difficulties a lot easier. They are more purposeful. They have wise parents. And they have been brought up in a loving, encouraging, disciplined, mentoring situation. The gift of a wise father is only matched by the gift of a wise mother. And folks, whether we like it or not, we are all products of our parents. Sure, God can intervene when we become Christians and help us change for the better. And that's what he does through his word. That's what he does with his spirit. But the start of our lives and the value of our lives is greatly in the hands of our parents. The parents' job is to raise their kids and give them the very best possible start. Now, folks, I realise as I look around, most of you are past parenting. Have I got that right? But Not everyone. Yeah, that's right. But we are grandparents. And you know what? More often than not, sometimes grandparents have a greater influence on their grandkids than their parents because their parents don't always have that time. But I want to say this is important for you because even if you have failed in certain parts in your parenting, there is an opportunity to admit it to your older kids. And you know what? That sometimes can draw you closer together with them. So I guess I'm trying to say, don't switch off. This sermon is for you. It's for everybody. The first thing I want to say with regards to children is that children need leadership. Why don't we read that verse together from Proverbs 22. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. God has designed parents to be loving, and we have the blueprint for strong family. Parents lead by example. They create a family of acceptance, of love and encouragement so that they can express themselves. You know, some people think that children are born good and then society screws them up. Children are born depraved. They are born with sin, the Bible says. And theologians talk about it as original sin. And let me prove it to you. Do you have to teach a child to be good? Yes. Do you have to teach a child to be bad? They're experts at it, aren't they? They know how to be bad. And sure, I know babies look beautiful and innocent when they are born, but don't let them fool you, all right? Folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Some of you know that I've had my seventh grandchild, little Rosie, and 2 weeks ago, and she is beautiful. I held her in my arms. She is beautiful. She's just like her grandfather. Oh, dear. Depends on how you look at it, I guess. But it's hard for me to believe it as I look at this beautiful baby And yet the Bible says folly is bound in the heart of a child. And friends, like us, sometimes children do dumb things that can lead them to danger, eating dirt, too close to the heater, riding on walls, walking in mud, having bad influences, too much games on social media. I'm talking about adults here. But folks, parents need to lead to what is fair and right. It's always better to lead by example, not by force. And kids need loving leadership, not pushy parents or absent parents. When you have a good relationship with your kids, it is easier to lead them. You know, we've seen in the news over the last months the youth crime in Queensland. That's just skyrocketing. The youth crime in Victoria also. A couple of months ago, I remember watching an interview on one of he wasn't the police commissioner, but he was a policeman in high standing. And he was stumped. He said, with regards to youth crime, he said, we need more deterrence. And then he said something like, I don't know what we need. He was mystified. Folks, parents need to lead in those early years. They need to know what is the absolute truth and not relative truth. Do you remember we talked about that a few weeks ago? And unfortunately, governments and sometimes even parents try to deal with the fruit of the problem and not the root of the problem. Folks, we are experiencing a generation of kids who have skipped scripture in our schools. A generation of kids who no longer come to church, but are often involved in sports on Sunday. I've got nothing against sports and sports on Sunday. But folks, when our kids haven't got those Christian values, why are we surprised that they will go off the rails early? Children need leadership. Children need discipline. We read there in Proverbs 22, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from them. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline. Do not withhold discipline from a child and save his soul from death. There are times if we love our kids, we will have to discipline them. But no form of discipline should be violent or out of anger, but out of love and concern. It is necessary. Sometimes a slap on the butt, isolation for a while, removing of rewards and privileges, whatever it takes to exercise discipline. And we need to find age-appropriate ways to influence foolish attitudes and behaviour. I know that the smack or smacking is very, very controversial. People talk about the power imbalance and talk about its abuse, its violence, and all that type of stuff. But folks, when Solomon is talking about the rod, it was the shepherd's rod who would just prod the sheep to where he wanted them to go. It wasn't a rod where he smashed them and belted them. It was a prod to direct them. To direct, not in anger, but to direct in love and patience. Sure, kids will be kids, but parents need to be clear of the behaviour and attitude that crosses the line. Kids are different. But all children need boundaries. My eldest daughter, Katie, who just had little Rosie, I remember when she was growing up, and she was very easy to discipline. If she did something wrong, all we had to do was to count up to three. One, two, and then she would break down in tears. Very easy. The boys were a little bit harder. I remember our first one, Luke, and I remember he learnt how to poke his tongue out, and I think he learned it from Sunday school, actually. But I remember the first time he did it, and I said, Luke, mate, it's rude to poke out your tongue. And you know what he did to me? I said, mate, it is very rude to poke out your tongue. You know what he did then? And I kid you not, he did it the third time. He just went ever so slightly. Well, it was obvious to me that Luke needed discipline, and I didn't disappoint him. Children need parents to help them grow up to be wise and not foolish. Can I say this? It is not the job of the school teacher. It is not the job of the coach to discipline your kids. It's your job. It's parents' job. And I think, and I'm not saying necessarily you, or, but I think generally parents are too ready to blame others for their child's lack of discipline. Children need leadership. Children need discipline. Children need encouragement and instruction. You know, the overwhelming emphasis in the book of Proverbs is on verbal encouragement and teaching. And the whole book, if you remember, is framed as a father's words to his son. And just listen to some, look at some of those words here. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Chapter 5. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen to my words of insight. 22, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. 23, listen to your father who will give you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Kids may not always want it, and you know what I'm talking about when I say kids, our children. But Proverbs tells us that they need it. We can save our children a lot of heartache and pain if we have a positive influence on them. And the younger they are, the greater the chance we have in putting values that will stay there, that will take root in their lives and become their own. If we teach our kids about telling the truth, if we teach our kids about compassion, kindness and respect, diligence, responsibility, eventually they will internalize those values. I think praying, obviously, for our kids, and I'm sad to say that was mainly my wife's job, praying for their kids, because I was often out at night. But sometimes I would be involved in praying with our children before they went to bed, telling of Christian stories. Let them claim Jesus as their own Lord, knowing very well that Jesus died for them, he rose for them, so that they could be part of the family of God. Folks, if we're going to influence our kids in a positive way, we need to give them time. Time equals influence. If there's one thing you're going to learn today, learn that. Say it with me. Time equals influence. You know, there was a time when my daughter Katie, she was in her early teens. And I remember saying to Debbie, I just don't feel close to her anymore. She just seems not rebellious, but I don't know what it was. She was just growing up, I guess, being a teenager. And I remember Debbie saying to me, take her out for a date. And so that's what I did. Not every week, but occasionally I would take her out and we would go have a milkshake together, just her and me. And folks, I want to say that was a great time. She just calmed down, she just chilled out, and we were on talking terms together. There are also twice I can remember that we had a father and daughter. I used to take the boys camping a lot, just the boys, and this time I took Katie. And our relationship just went like that for the good, because we had that time together. And even though kids should respect us, we need to remember that teenagers will probably go through a rebellious time of disrespecting authorities. But until they grow up, we need to show that we are worth respecting. I want to say this too, because I've seen it happen. Families is not school, okay? Families is not an army. Families, you can't cooperate, operate as a school teacher or as a captain of the army. families ought to be a nurturing place, where kids can be their self, can be silly sometimes, be enjoyable. If you want to know what it needs to be, think like a child, and that's what home should be. Make home the place where kids want to be, loved and encouraged, not just the place where they'll be ticked off and dispirited and demoralised. Reinforce through encouragement the good that they do. You know, we're bringing up children today in a world where it is very negative. And all your kids, all our grandkids, they're going to be attacked, insulted, criticised, judged, undermined from every direction. As parents, we need to teach and encourage and give them the courage and ability to face this world. We know from that second reading Jean read to us in Ephesians, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Yes, we know it's the child's responsibility to obey and accept and respect the position of a parent. In fact, there's a promise here that it will go well with them. There will be blessing. It will be to their benefit, to their joy. But parents, don't exasperate your kids. What does it mean to exasperate? Don't annoy them. Don't irritate them. Don't antagonise them, provoke them. When we do, it is a harder job to get our kids to be obedient. Another way to encourage and instruct our kids is how we behave, that modelling behaviour. Kids will become what you are. Kids will become what you are. I am very blessed. I have three kids. They're all Christians. I love them dearly. They're fantastic kids. But if I look at my boys, especially my boys, and if I try to pick something, you know, negative about them, guess what? They're just reflecting the old man, aren't they? You know, our kids pick up the good things. They pick up the bad things. Significant things, insignificant things, the things that are intentional or unintentional. If we are to be purposeful in our mentoring or modelling, make sure we model a godly life. And we sung that, didn't we, this morning? Bring them up, it says, in the training and instruction of the Lord. And friends, we need to love our spouse. We need to together pray. Pray for our kids. And our kids will see that. And it will speak volumes to them. And finally, I want to say children are a blessing. Let's read this from Proverbs 23 together. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. We may not always think it, but children are treasures from God. They should be prized. They should be cherished. They should hear 1,000 times that you love them. They should grow up in a family that encourages and comforts. Relationship with our kids are meant to be fun, enjoyed, not just endured. You know, my dad now is 89 years old, and I see him, well, now every Sunday and every Tuesday when I can, and I get him on the phone. Sometimes he doesn't know who I am. He thinks I'm the other son, but I let that go. But it's interesting what he says at the end of the conversation, even though he hasn't got a clue what I've been saying, but he'll say to me, "Son, I love you." And he does that when I see him at the end of the conversation. And Mum used to do the same thing. "I love you, son." And it's interesting, I do that with my kids. And yesterday I was with my eldest son Luke watching their soccer, the grandkids' soccer. And Luke said to me, he said, "Dad, I love you," as we left. And folks, no one gets sick of hearing that they are loved. Yeah? Does anyone not like hearing that someone loves them? Were you putting your hand up there? No. You're just picking your nose. No. Sorry, Neville. No, he wasn't picking his nose, all right? Friends, we should never be too busy for a toddler who wants a hug. We should never be too tired for a young child who wants to share what they did at school. We should never crush a teenager's dream or goal. We should never dismiss a young adult's opinion. Watching our kids grow up is a thrill, but we know it's not without problems. Kids will get into trouble. They will drink, they will smoke, they will do all these sort of things. But as parents, we are called to give practical instructions for living, insight in the ways of wisdom and not foolishness, offer loving and balanced discipline, and teach a model, a godly model of eternal values. It's a big job, isn't it? Being a parent is a huge job. And we need prayer for ourselves. We need prayer for those young parents in our congregation. We need prayer for our own kids who have got their own kids. The wisdom of Scripture is not an ironclad guarantee that our kids will end up great. Children have free will, they will make their own decisions, but the Scriptures do lay a general principle in raising children. And so I know there are a lot of what ifs. What if? What if kids don't turn out the way we would like them to be? Well, folks, I think if we have made mistakes in parenting, confess them, like we did this morning. We have a good God, a God who wants to forgive. And we've got to also recognise that kids make their own choices. If kids are older, living away, try a different approach. Even admit to them that maybe you haven't been the best parent. Ask for their forgiveness. Folks, I guarantee when we apologise to our children, it will draw them closer to you. Always accept them regardless of what they've become. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? That son, the younger son, was basically saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead," because he wanted his inheritance. And he went away, blew all his dough, came back with a tail between his legs, and what did his father do? He accepted him. He loved him. No doubt, I would imagine that father would have been praying for his son all that time he was away. What if you're a single parent? Well, your situation is not ideal because one parent has to be the mother and father of their kids. And I want to challenge you as a church family to respond to single parents with love, grace and support. There was one lady in my previous church who had lost her husband, and she had two boys in their early teens, and a group from our own our men's Bible study group just took it in turns to, not every week, but they would take the boys out to the footy, they would take the boys out to watch a movie, and those boys just needed that father figure. What if, for those people who can't have kids, I don't know why you're in that situation, and I can't begin to understand the pain that you have. But God understands, and hears your pain. Come to him in prayer. Ask God what you can do, what you should do. Remember that our God is sovereign, he's in control. And he will use whatever situation we find ourselves for his purpose. Folks, I know too, not all of us have had good parents. Maybe there are some people here who have abusive parents, angry parents. Whatever our situation, we have a divine help at our disposal. Remember, we have an all-wise, all-loving Father, our Heavenly Father. And he wants to lead us through his word. He will, because he loves us, he will discipline us when we go off the rails. And he will encourage us through example, through his word, through his spirit, through the example of Jesus and others. And he knows our shortfalls, he wants us to plead to him in prayer. Friends, know that we are an absolute blessing to our Lord God. Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. He wants to forgive us. He does forgive us in his son's death. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but wisdom is in the Lord Jesus. Folks, why don't we just take a little time out and maybe some thoughts and just pray quietly before the Lord. Maybe some of those things that you can do. Some of those things maybe you haven't done right. Some of those things you could do better. So why don't we just quietly just pray. Heavenly Father, despite our failings as parents, and despite the failings of our parents, Father, we know that we can come to you with the solid assurance that you care, that you love us, and that you want the very best for us. Father, we pray that we might be an encouragement to our kids, to our grandkids, to our kids who've got kids. Father, please help us to be prayerful for them. Help us to be an encouragement, an example to them. And Father, we ask that your church family here at St. Peter's Shoalhaven Heads, Father, please give us that desire, that passion to look after each other for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. And we do pray all these things for his name's sake. Amen.